Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Confusion in Washington over the email sent by Elon Musk to thousands of federal workers asking them to send a bullet point list of their job duties. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
The Office of Personnel Management told leaders of federal agencies their workers are not required to respond to Musk's email. The Justice Department, State Department, and Defense Department all telling their employees not to reply. But the Treasury Department saying their employees should respond. The Department of Health and Human Services said workers can respond if they want to.
The president expressing hope that Russia's war in Ukraine is nearing an end. He met on Monday with French President Emmanuel Macron on the third anniversary of the invasion. President Trump says his tariffs on Canada and Mexico will begin starting next month. Thousands continue gathering in St. Peter's Square, praying for Pope Francis's health. He is still described as being in critical condition, but the Vatican says he improved slightly overnight. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Even bad reviews, word of mouth, and almost a 70% drop-off from its first weekend of release couldn't knock Captain America Brave New World from number one at the box office. The film took in a little over $28 million at theaters this past weekend to remain atop the feature film leaderboard here in the U.S. The most recent Marvel film has now brought in $141 million domestically after a $100 million plus opening last weekend. Big drop-offs for Marvel films are becoming a bit of a concern for Disney Studios. Ant-Man and Wasp, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and Thor, Love and Thunder also saw big drop-offs from weeks 1 to 2. In the number 2 slot this past weekend was The Monkey, a gory thriller which pulled in a little over $14 million in its debut weekend. Another win for Neon Studios, which released the surprise hit Long Legs last year. Rounding out the top 5 were Paddington in Peru, which finished in 3rd place, Dogman was in 4th, and Heart Eyes finished in 5th place. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers at home tonight against the Washington Huskies. Wisconsin now ranked 12th in the AP Top 25. The Bucks are in Houston taking on the Rockets. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst and his staff here in Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine. Over 300 top college players working out for teams getting ready for the draft in April. The Brewers in Arizona, where pitcher Abner Uribe, who once threw a pitch over 103 miles an hour, believed to be the best in franchise history, has not only been working on his fastball, but his English as well.
How did you study?
I studied like with the teacher, but then I felt chilling sitting. I can't feel asleep because I'm not that guy to be sitting all day taking class, you know.
Uribe, who's from the Dominican Republic, says he wants to be able to speak with the fans, especially the kids.
If I don't speak English, I don't have like something to say to the kid, you know what I mean? So I have to speak in English.
That's Brewers pitcher Abner Uribe with sports on Mike Clemens.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers is back for a Tuesday Tangent with Lukester. We'll find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs in the mid-40s. Rain likely tonight, lows around 35. Slight chance of rain on Wednesday, otherwise clouds in 43. For Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, lows around 31. Partly sunny on Thursday, highs near 41. Another chance of rain by Friday.
It's 30 at our studios.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Pat Kreitlow. If you are feeling discombobulated lately, have I got the guy for you. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area is filling in for me on Tuesday. Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Tuesday. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for starting your day with us. It's been just over 24 hours since I got back to Wisconsin. I was in Lake Tahoe, California, celebrating my husband's 30th birthday with a ski trip out west. But my gosh, the weather doesn't feel like anything's changed. When we left, we were at the end of Wisconsin's cold spell, but now it's just as balmy as it is out west. I ditched my coat this morning when I came to the station, and rightfully so, because today we can expect highs of almost 50 in the Madison area. Over by Milwaukee, the chance of rain picks up. You can expect rain in the morning and overnight. If we head north to Green Bay, highs of 45 with sunshine and some clouds. But across the state to Eau Claire, it's going to be a little cooler with mostly cloudy skies. Northwest Wisconsin can expect some snow showers later tonight. We'll talk about it with Stu Muck this morning, our ag meteorologist. Also on the docket today, Jacob Burks is a partner at AgMarket.net out of Lancaster, and he's going to tell us what his farm customers are calling him about this month and go over some risk management tools that you may or may not have realized you could take advantage of. Before Jacob, we'll take a look at our market prices this morning from Chicago, and then Farm Director Pam Yonke is going to catch up with our friends at Compeer Financial. Also this morning, the Farmer's Almanac tells us that it's a good day for two activities, and I never thought I'd use them in the same sentence. You're not going to want to miss that. But stick around, because up next, Ben Jarbo will introduce us to the new chair of the State Senate Agriculture Committee and his policy goals this year. It's all right here.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and SDS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a heads-up seed treatment.
Recently, Senator Patrick Tessin has been appointed the committee chairman for the State Senate Agriculture Committee. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and I was able to catch up with Senator Tessin to see why he wanted to become the chairman of the State Senate Agriculture Committee without having agriculture background, as well as some of the things that he hopes to better for Wisconsin agriculture.
I actually don't have any history in agriculture. I'm probably about four or five generations removed from the farm, but I represent an area of the state that is a heavy ag industry, a lot of potato and vegetable growers, a lot of cranberry, a lot of dairy. And so when I first came into the state Senate, that was one of the committees I wanted to be a part of, just because even though I didn't have a background in it, I thought it was very important to learn as much as I could. And since I've been in office, one of the things that I've done is through my On the Job series, where once a month I go out and work a different job in the district just to see what different opportunities are out there, different jobs, highlight different businesses. But more importantly, it gives me a better idea of how and what we do down here in Madison impacts people both directly and indirectly back home. So I've had the opportunity to work cranberry harvest, potato harvest, worked on dairy farms, worked in some of our meat processing facilities, some of our dairy operations. And it's given me a real hands-on opportunity to learn about our great men and women who work in our ag industry that not only help feed our state, but help feed the world.
Just talking to the producers, what do you want to help them with the most when you talk with them?
Well, one of the things I've learned is, one, it's not easy work. It's backbreaking, but the men and women who work in this industry, they have a strong passion for it. And we have a rich cultural history of an ag industry here in the state. It's one of the cornerstones of our state economy. And I think as we look forward, forward going into this next biennium, into this session, what can we do to strengthen our egg economy? What can we do to help increase exports? We've been very successful in recent years to do just that, and we want to strengthen that, and also making sure that our rural infrastructure remains up to par, which is why I was so supportive last session of the $150 million that went into the ARIP program, making sure that our farm-to-market roads are being kept up the pace compared to some of our more urban centers. And so my hope is going into this next biennium is that we can continue that program, because we saw large support and a lot of need based on the grant applications that came in. And while we were able to fund 150 million of them, I think there was just shy of roughly half a billion applications that came in.
And now that you're chairman, what does that allow you to do, being a chairman of this ag committee? What are some things that you feel like you can really help with now that you're chairman?
Well, I think being chair is a great opportunity to continue to highlight what's working, what can we do better or differently. And so I've had a really good working relationship with DACAP Secretary Romanski and my predecessor who chaired this committee last session and previous session, Senator Joan Ballwig, want to continue that relationship and doing what we can to make sure that we're working with our ag department to help our farmers, to help our support and ancillary industries. And so whether that's providing tax relief, whether that's, again, making sure our infrastructure programs like the ARIP program get continued and enumerated in this budget, and then, again, finding ways to get creative to find more opportunities to encourage an interest in the ag industry. I remember my first session, one of the very first bills that I did was working with Representative Evan Goyke, who was a legislator from Milwaukee, and you would think, well, what does a legislator from Milwaukee have anything to do with agriculture? But we worked on a bill to encourage veterans to go into the ag industry, and it's been a very successful program, and these are the types of things that I think we can build upon, so we have a really strong foundation to work with, and we just got to keep working and building on it.
You were mentioning ARIP, but what are some other things that you'd like to see in that budget for agriculture that you think could be very helpful as we go through some issues, say, with tariffs and trying to produce more with less?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so I think one of the things that we want to avoid is we've seen in every one of Governor Evers' proposed budgets, he wants to get rid of the ag and manufacturing tax credit, which I think is, quite frankly, and I'll be blunt, a boneheaded move. This is a tax credit that has benefited our farmers, it's benefited our manufacturers, and so every budget that Governor Evers has proposed to do away with that, we have rejected. And so I suspect we'll see that in his budget again, that will get stripped out, and we are going to make sure that that tax credit remains in place, because it has been widely used and widely popular with our men and women in farming. And so that's one area where I think we're going to have to play defense, which, if history is any past indication, we haven't had any problem there. But again, I think looking forward, we've done tremendous work with our meat processing grants. If there's one thing out of the pandemic that we have learned, how fragile our food chain is, this has been a way to help fill that stopgap. Other areas where I think we've seen wild success is through the partnerships between the agriculture community as well as the conservation side of things with the producer-led watershed grants, which I think by and large have given us the most bang for our buck, where you have folks from agriculture as well as the conservation side actually working together, where in years past they were in opposition with one another. And by having these partnerships, these coalitions, it's yielded tremendous results in less runoff, better standards and uses of our soil and water resources that I hope we can continue.
Well, and today you will be speaking with some FFA students. What do you hope you get out of it, and what do you hope to tell them and teach them as they come in and talk to you?
Well, I find every time when I meet with FFA students, I probably learn more from them than they learn from me. I mean, these are tremendous young leaders who are really leaps and bounds above many of their peers, where they are taking a hands-on approach to learn about the industry. They have a tremendous interest in pursuing careers in our ag economy. And so My advice to them is to continue to stay involved and to build relationships with their elected officials at every level of government, from our U.S. senators, congressmen, state legislators, all the way down to their county board supervisors, because as we have seen, and we're going through this right now, especially up in my home county in Portage County, where there are measures being put forth by our county board that would make it even more difficult for some of our dairy farmers to operate, which I find concerning. And so when you can get FFA students engaged in the political process, I think that speaks volumes. When oftentimes so many people are apathetic, these are students who are actually engaged, they're eager to learn, and more importantly, they're eager to lead, which I think is encouraging.
And to kind of go along with that, ag education is a huge part of rural Wisconsin. Is there anything that you would like to see done to help expand that even more to urban settings?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a huge opportunity when it comes to educating students, especially in more urban centers, about our ag economy. And you take a look going back to 2017 when we passed the aquaculture bill. There's a lot of applications in which aquaculture is being incorporated into urban schools, which is great, because I think by and large for a lot of those students, they don't have those opportunities. And to apply different uses of our ag economy into even urban centers provides a pipeline to gin up interest. And so if there's opportunities in this budget or standalone legislation that expands upon that, I'm all ears and open to it.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that you'd like our listeners to know about you or about what you'd like to try to see get done here?
I would say, you know, one of the things that I've really enjoyed is I love getting out and meeting with our farmers throughout, not just the 24th Senate District, but across the state. And so I guess this is a shameless plug. If we've got any farmers out there that want me to come work for a day, give my office a call. I am more than happy to roll up my sleeves and get dirty and spend a day on the farm and see the operation hands-on, and there's no job I won't do.
Senator Patrick Teston, who is the chairman for the Senate Agriculture Committee, sharing what he feels needs to be done legislatively to further Wisconsin agriculture for the future. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called a switcheroo. Talking about one thing, while behind the scenes, there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn, and Harvey K has a toast to Thomas Paine.
Plus, how are federal layoffs impacting the great state of Wisconsin? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
In the farm radio, weather's one of our favorite topics, but we're also interested in farm chores you're getting done or the community events in your area that you're attending. So keep us informed at 877-301-FARM. That's the number for our talk text line, 877-301-3276. You might have a lot to tell us if we get any of the forecasted action in the skies today and tonight. Stu Muck is our ag meteorologist with us this morning. Stu, it does sound like some of Wisconsin will see some moisture either in the form of rain or snow today if they haven't had any already.
Yeah, if you haven't had it already, you're probably not in that threat today, Stephanie. I do see Racine finally weighed in here this morning with 1/10 of an inch of rainfall. And the radar indicates that rain out over southern tip of Lake Michigan, moving towards southwest Michigan. So, you know, it's pulling away from the state. There's some rain up in the UP as well, rain and snow there. Nothing else for us to be too concerned by. I mean, we still have a high pressure system trying to hold on in the central U.S., but a little weak system has dropped off to our southeast, pulling through. There'll be at least two, if not three more little systems like that that swing through pretty quickly. Call them clippers, if you will, but they don't have the moisture with them. But they will build through. One of those may very well account for a little rain in the north, rain and snow more likely. But some of that lighter precipitation later tonight into a part of Wednesday. Daytime high temperatures remaining well above normal. Remember, mid-30s are generally our highs in the south, low 30s in the north. So as we talk about upper 30s and 40s, that is well above normal, very mild for this last part of February. But we'll see those little precipitation chances like tonight and into Wednesday. There may be some in the east, a small chance in the east on Thursday. And then it's going to be a little cooler, not too drastic, warming up for the end of the week. A very small chance of a little rain, snow, partially in the east and northern parts of Wisconsin as we look toward late Friday. So several little systems moving through, each of them a small chance of precipitation, less than 1/10 of an inch of rain, a little slushy, sloppy, wet snow if we see that. Not a winter storm coming our way by any means, but we are going to have some changing weather over the next several days. But the change does include that mild air. That's not going away. I'll have our forecast details in just a moment.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Stu, I like that you call those little cool fronts little clippers. They sound kind of cute, and rightfully so, because they're cute because they're not going to be shaking up our mild forecast too much, huh?
Yeah, that's it. There's just not a lot of punch with them. You know, a little bit of light precipitation, not much of a temperature change, but it's enough to make us think once in a while, you know, we're going to find slippery spots in the mornings, and you have to keep that in mind. What we deal with today will be a fair amount of sunshine. Sounds very nice. Low 40s in the north, upper 40s in southern Wisconsin, and northwest winds will be around 5 to 10. They may even become south and southwest in western parts of the state. Overnight, more clouds roll in, and we get that chance. Snow north, rain south, a little mix in the central part of the state. None of it too heavy, but some light precipitation, certainly a possibility. In the north, maybe just an upper 20. In the south, freezing or above. South winds will be around 5 to 10. Some of that precipitation lingers as we head on into Wednesday. Still a mostly cloudy day, mostly some rain, I think, as the day rolls on. Temps are, again, in the very low 40s north, mid 40s south. South winds become northwest in the day at about 5 to 10. Partly sunny, a little cooler Thursday. Upper 30s and very low 40s with northwest winds 5 to 15. And Stephanie, Friday, I'd say some clouds. We warm it up a little bit, but there may very well be a little rain-snow mix later Friday or Friday night. So keep your weekend plans in mind.
And if you get a chance to get out, maybe go for a walk on your lunch break or make some time to get outside today, I'm not complaining about this forecast. Stu, in 10 seconds, can you tell us where we at for moisture levels?
We're kind of average, but we really need more.
Need more. So any precipitation, welcome. Don't forget to let us know at 877-301-3276. Eggmarket.net coming up next.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Earl Ingram, host of The Earl Ingram Show. We're celebrating Black History Month by sharing some powerful interviews and stories featuring Wisconsin's own trailblazers. We're also listening to you because conversations can make a difference.
It's got to be had, and we have to have it on a regular basis, not only on the air, but around the coffee table. I was more optimistic than before than I am now. America's taken a big backward step.
I do try to have that conversation about racial disparity and give small history lessons as much as I can.
Join us to continue the conversations as we stand together and learn together. And let's celebrate Black History Month every month. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Earl Ingram Show on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, "I'm taking your backyard." You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Confusion in Washington over the email sent by Elon Musk to thousands of federal workers asking them to send a bullet point list of their job duties. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
The Office of Personnel Management told leaders of federal agencies their workers are not required to respond to Musk's email. The Justice Department, State Department, and Defense Department all telling their employees not to reply. But the Treasury Department saying their employees should respond. The Department of Health and Human Services said workers can respond if they want to.
The president expressing hope that Russia's war in Ukraine is nearing an end. He met on Monday with French President Emmanuel Macron on the third anniversary of the invasion. President Trump says his tariffs on Canada and Mexico will begin starting next month. Thousands continue gathering in St. Peter's Square, praying for Pope Francis's health. He is still described as being in critical condition, but the Vatican says he improved slightly overnight. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Awards season is in the home stretch, with the Oscars less than a week away. The 2025 Screen Actors Guild Awards are in the books and could give us some hints for next week's Oscar broadcast. Timothée Chalamet and Demi Moore took home the awards for Best Male and Female Actor in a Leading Role in the Feature Film category. Conclave won the Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture. Outstanding Performance by a Supporting Actress went to Zoe Saldana for Amelia Perez. Kieran Culkin won Outstanding Performance by a Supporting Actor for his role in A Real Pain. Outstanding Performance by a Lead Actor in a Limited Series went to Colin Farrell for his role in The Penguin, and Jessica Gunning won the same award for her role in Baby Reindeer. Switching to comedy, Jean Smart took home the Best Female Acting Award for Hacks, and Martin Short won in the same category for a male actor for Only Murders in the Building. Only Murders also won Best Ensemble in a Comedy. Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Drama Series went to Shogun. Not a huge surprise there. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers at home tonight against the Washington Huskies. Wisconsin now ranked 12th in the AP Top 25. The Bucks are in Houston taking on the Rockets. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst and his staff here in Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine. Over 300 top college players working out for teams getting ready for the draft in April. The Brewers in Arizona, where pitcher Abner Uribe, who once threw a pitch over 103 miles an hour, believed to be the best in franchise history, has not only been working on his fastball, but his English as well.
How did you study?
I studied like with the teacher, but then I felt chilling, I can't feel asleep because I'm not that guy to be in city all day taking class, you know.
Uribe, who's from the Dominican Republic, says he wants to be able to speak with the fans, especially the kids.
If I don't speak English, I don't have like something to say to the kid, you know what I mean? So I have to speak in English.
That's Brewers pitcher Abner Uribe with sports on Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Superintendent Brittany Kinzer is endorsed by Moms for Liberty. What threats are posed to your kids' education by the candidate for the superintendency? We discuss with Dan Schaefer at 2:30.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny, highs in the mid-40s. Rain likely tonight, lows around 35. Slight chance of rain on Wednesday, otherwise clouds in 43. For Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, lows around 31. Partly sunny on Thursday, highs near 41. Another chance of rain by Friday.
It's 30 at our studios.
Here's another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK. Join us at the Amory Public Library on Thursday, February 27th at 6 p.m. It's History Night. Learn about the history of our country and many different subjects to be covered at History Night. That's February 27th at 6 p.m. at the Amory Public Library. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina Supreme Court declined to fast-track a challenge by a GOP Supreme Court candidate who lost in November by 734 votes. And super PACs backed by Elon Musk are pouring millions into Wisconsin's 2025 Supreme Court race. After two recounts, incumbent North Carolina Supreme Court Justice Allison Riggs led by 734 votes with 5.5 million ballots cast. Her GOP challenger, Judge Jefferson Griffin, claims as many as 65,000 of those voters were ineligible. February 17th, Griffin filed in appeals court, but the State Elections Board requested a fast track to the state Supreme Court. February 20th, that request was denied, and the case is likely to be heard later this year. The New York Times reported Elon Musk's America PAC is spending $1 million on GOP voter turnout for an April 1st Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Musk's Building America Future PAC has also booked another $1.5 million supporting former GOP State Attorney General Brad Schimmel. His opponent, Judge Susan Crawford, raised over $7.7 million so far with outside spending via donations to the Wisconsin Democratic Party. The 2023 election of Justice Janet Prusiewicz resulted in fairer redistricting maps for the first time in over a decade. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manor is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Throwing dirt on Wisconsin and burying them.
Welcome back on a Tuesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for tagging along with us to start your day. Jacob Burks joins us later in the hour. He's a partner with AgMarket.net, and Jacob's going to have some insight for us on the grain harvest in South America, as well as some of the other market movers circulating in today's headlines. We'll also take a look at market prices this morning from Chicago. But first, as you know, when I'm filling in for the early show, I do like to take some notes on the old Farmer's Almanac. Right now, the moon outside is a waning crescent, which means it's getting smaller and nearing a new moon that'll be here on Thursday. According to the old Farmer's Almanac, the moon phase today is perfect for two things. The first is castrating animals. Not a fun job, but if it needs to get done, today is the day to do it. And the second, getting a perm. My sister just started her new job at a hair salon. I'll have to ask her if she sees an uptick in perms during this moon phase. Because as we heard, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac, today is a good day to castrate animals and perm your hair. Maybe your to-do list also includes signing up for 2025 crop insurance. Luckily, Compeer Financial has resources available to help you navigate those decisions. Farm Director Pam Yonke has the story.
The deadline for final decisions on crop insurance for the growing season of 2025 just around the corner. Compeer Financial is hosting a crop insurance spring update webinar this Thursday, February 27th, starting at 1 p.m. It will feature the voice of Eric Snodgrass, senior atmospheric scientist at Conduit, talking about the weather patterns and what he sees coming ahead. Cole Patrick is the director of insurance strategies for Compeer Financial, and he says, frankly, there are no easy decisions for growers this year.
Yeah, well, everybody's kind of keeping a really close eye on prices. They're trying to lock in where our break evens are. And we've actually had a really nice lift in corn, which has brought our monthly average into 470, which is way better than we thought going into this year. We kind of thought we'd be in that, you know, 420, 430 range. So everybody's a little bit more optimistic about that. For those livestock growers out there, you know, the cattle markets are high. So things are looking really good. So right now people are asking, what's an adequate coverage? How much can I get at that 470, you know, or that 1058 for soybeans? So people are really taking a look at where's my break evens? How do I create a marketing plan? How do I lock in crop insurance? And we're here to kind of help everybody figure all those things out. And something we discussed prior in our January webinar that is very, very timely and very important for everybody to consider this year is a decision for ECO.
Yes.
Huge subsidy lift.
Yes.
Great shallow loss coverage.
Yes.
The frequency of price drops from the spring to the fall price
yes.
is just It's way too frequent not to take a look at. The subsidy increase is a real game changer.
Yes.
And it bases off your individual farm's liability, but it's a county-level performance product.
Right.
Everyone should take a look at that this year.
Yeah. Well, what that can get us to, what, 90, 95%?
95%, or you can choose 90, but we really recommend that higher trigger point.
Yeah, with those subsidies.
Yeah, with the cost, with the extra assistance on those on the rates. Again, Cole Patrick along with us, he helps to design some of those insurance products that Compeer is offering you. And more importantly, it is a team approach. A suite of risk management is going to be necessary this year. It's not just going to be about, oh yeah, I'm going to add crop and hail this year instead of, it's going to take a number of different elements. And like you said, Cole, some of the tools are mature. Livestock, for example, it's kind of a mature cadre of examples we can point to, but it's the combination we're going to need this year.
Yeah, it's a comprehensive look, and you know that whole philosophy may differ from Minnesota to Wisconsin to Illinois based on the loss exposure that you face with wind, hail, even different parts of the state that you live in. So it's really a comprehensive take, and we have the expertise in the field to really know the regionality that helps people tailor that coverage to what they actually need. And and the team out, they're doing a great job at it, and we're seeing a lot of progress, a lot more conversations around, hey, what do we need to do this year? Because it's not a set it and forget it year, especially with everything that we got going on in the markets. So, yeah, this is the year to really consider, how am I going to approach risk management in 25 and really beyond? So,
you know, the other thing that I want to drive home, Cole, is Compeer listens. For people that have not been to one of these webinars or interacted with more than one loan officer, let's say, you guys are all ears. It's not an old group of people that are saying, oh, this is the way it used to be. You guys are all ears because that feeds you and your desire to start custom making products for them.
Absolutely. It's a great way to collect real-time feedback and questions from the audience, kind of take the temperature of the room, the sentiments, and it's really not uncommon for us to kind of stop and pause, see a question in the hopper and go, hey, let's address that really quick, and then give some post-review feedback, and then really take that back to the team and just continue pushing the needle, continue innovating, ultimately, because the goal at all of our hearts is to take care of the farmer and the producer in the field.
Cole Patrick, he is the Director of Insurance Strategies at Compeer Financial and will be on the webinar this Thursday, February 27th, starting at 1 p.m., helping you to make decisions about crop insurance for 2025. You'll find more details and have the opportunity to register at Compeer.com under their Education and Events tab. I'm Pam Yonke.
Thank you, Pam. Now let's take a look at grain prices on a Tuesday morning. From Chicago, cash corn is down 2 cents at 480 and a half. December new crop corn is down a penny and three quarters, trading at 469 a bushel. Cash beans are up a quarter of a cent at 1029 and a quarter. And November new crop soybeans are also up a quarter of a cent at 1052 a bushel. Cash wheat is down a nickel and a quarter at 573 and three quarters. July new crop wheat is down 4.5 cents, trading at 603 and a half. You heard me say earlier that the Old Farmer's Almanac recommends castrating animals today if it's on your to-do list. Well, if it's a bull, then you have a delicacy on your hands. Rocky Mountain oysters. The Midwest Farm Report team is looking forward to the annual Testicle Festival at Springfield Corners in Dane. It's happening March 8th, and we hope you can join us to enjoy these deep-fried delicacies. They've also got ice-cold beverages and live music. Our whole team is going to be there with a chance for you to win concert tickets and, of course, sample Rocky Mountain oysters. It kicks off after 2 p.m. on March 8th at Springfield Corners. You can find more details on Facebook. We covered grain markets. Let's take a look at what's happening in dairy. From Chicago, the March Class 3 milk contract is trading 13 cents lower at 1888 a hundredweight. The April contract is 14 cents lower at 1850 a hundredweight.
Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, which was lower yesterday. On the close, barrel cheese was unchanged at $1.80, but the 40-pound block cheese was 2 cents lower, closing at $1.88. Double A butter was down 4.5 cents at $2.37 a pound. Before the break, I want to remind you that the Century and Sesquicentennial Farm and Home Award applications are due March 1st. Keeping a farm or a homestead in the family for more than 100 or 150 years is truly a great accomplishment, and it's what the Wisconsin State Fair wants to recognize through its Farm and Home Award program. Again, applications are available now. They're due March 1st, and you can take some time to listen to some of last year's winners at MidwestFarmReport.com. Just click on the Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Salute tab on the front page. We look forward to capturing these stories every year, courtesy of Compeer Financial. Again, find those stories at MidwestFarmReport.com. You're not going to want to touch that dial. Jacob Burks is a partner at eggmarket.net. He's based out of Lancaster, Wisconsin, and he joins us next with some of the hot topics he's talking about with his customers. Jacob Burks, next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is Shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, maternal mortality rates are on the rise across the country. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here to explain it all. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
In a farmer's control is whether or not they take advantage of risk management tools. Jacob Burks joins us. He's a partner with eggmarket.net. Jacob is based in Lancaster, but he works with producers nationwide. He says most producers are using some sort of risk management service, whether it's through their local elevator or with an organization like his. He tells us about some of the phone calls he's getting from customers today and the tools that are out there to protect them.
Right. We always joke that, you know, you're going to get the calls when you start hearing, seeing Bloomberg and CNN and all the news stations talk about, you know, the agriculture industry. And right now the headlines are the bird flu that's spreading across the country and how that's getting into, you know, dairy herds and how it's getting, you know, it's moving beyond just the migratory bird. And so I think that hitting the news lines obviously goes to our producers, like, hey, how does that affect demand? You know, and our feed demand is pretty strong. It's something that doesn't change a whole lot. And the question right now is, I don't know. It's just like coming through the weekend. How are the tariffs gonna you know, affect the market? That's on the news. It's the headlines. It's the big questions. And the big problem is, I don't know. When there's that much uncertainty in the marketplace, that's when you need to be using some of those risk management tools.
If the cattle numbers aren't there, where does my grain go? But should maybe I bring cattle onto the operation if the cattle market is looking good?
Sometimes risk management might be diversification. That's a tool that you could have in your tool belt to manage your risk on your farm. Sometimes, you know, a lot of guys this fall luckily had some cattle in store just to walk some of that corn off the farm. You know, they had a lot, you know, very low depressed price at harvest and was able to walk that off. So yeah, we have a lot, you know, with, and then cattle all of a sudden went up here. So the cattle guys has got a ton of risk on hand right now. And I think when you look at the operation and you look at who needs it the most right now, it's not because I think the prices are going to fall. It's just because we have such a high value of cattle prices. I think it's very important to be looking at some tools and getting some sold.
Continuing on the grain conversation, I want to talk about our competitors in South America. Right now, they're going gangbusters, getting their crop off the ground. And while they are, you know, countries, continents away, that's something that here domestically growers need to pay attention to.
Yeah, I mean, right now you got to look at, we have the cheapest corn available. Okay, so we are the export market domestically for corn now. But as they're rapidly going through harvest in Brazil, in the northern part of Brazil, they've had rainy season. It's delayed their harvest a little bit. And after they harvest that first crop, then they come right back with the Safrina corn crop. And so you'll see the pictures. You've seen them all over the internet where the combine's drilling through harvesting soybeans and the corn planter's right behind. And that's happening right now. So that availability of corn will be coming to the market, you know, pretty quick. At the end of March, we'll start seeing some of that competition for our corn. So, you know, we looked at the production that they have increased and the arable land that they have the opportunity to put in production is outstanding. We're losing acres. They're gaining acres down south. And I think the investment that China's put in and other BRICS countries have put into Brazil to provide food for the world has been significant, to the point where we have to focus and pay attention to what's going on down there so we can look at next year's crop to say, hey, what's the availability? What's the opportunities? If we see them having a decent crop, we have to be a little bit more aggressive with what we do from a selling side.
Can you speak to the importance of our associations like the Wisconsin Soybean Association, like the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association, their role in creating demand to eat up that supply? Because like you said, I mean, if we're competing because they just have so much, we got to eat that up here at home.
Exactly. And If you'd look at this, you know, 5 years ago and say, hey, our export system might not even include beans in the future, I would probably said no way. But if you look at it 10 years down the road, there's not a guarantee that we're going to be exporting many beans. As a matter of fact, there's talk about we could be importing soybeans for our crush plants, even as quick as this year, just because how cheap their soybeans could get. So when you look at these organizations and what they do to go out there to help drive, I think the biggest thing is renewable energy. And I can't talk on renewable energy like I'm an expert. All I know is it's really, really important that we continue to build that part of our industry, because we have to find new and better and more efficient ways to use you know, the soybeans here domestically, because we won't be planting a whole lot of them. And I think that's focus is mainly on the bean side. But then you switch over and look at the corn, the ethanol that we're grinding. You know, that's been a mainstay. Ethanol makes sense. Now, how can we expand on that? How can we continue to expand into the SAF? And what does that actually look like? And I wish them the best. I root for them because I think it's very important for our producers that they continue to build and find better ways to use it domestically here.
Jacob, my last question for you, when it comes to planning for the growing season, for your marketing season, reports from USDA that are supposed to help us make estimates, make predictions. How reliable are those planting estimates and acreage reports or even the supply and demand reports, how accurate are those at this point in the year? And are there any in particular that we should be watching that could definitely shake up the marketplace?
It typically becomes pretty accurate into the March report. So what we call the March report is the planting intentions report. That's going to tell you, hey, domestically, what are we going to plant? What did the farmer say he's planning on planting, putting in the ground? Then when you go through the planting season, you know, we all know what, you know, we watch the weather every day. How much do we think went in? We make guesstimates most of the time. And then when it gets to June 30th, we have that final plant number. So those are two dates that when I'm putting together a marketing plan for producers, I'm looking at those two dates to say, hey, I want to be protected, you know, at that level beyond the March report. And then let's do something beyond that, you know, the June 30th final planting number. I think those are really, really important, especially when you're looking into 2025. And the cool thing about what the CME or the CBOT has done over the last, we've been using them probably for 10 years now, are these short-dated new crop options. So there's option strategies. There's tools out there that have a shorter-term date other than just the new crop contract like December or November soybeans.
That's probably a good thing because markets change so fast. So
the CME understands that too. They actually have weekly options on that. So you have opportunities throughout a year that you can say, hey, I'm positioned this way. I have a lot of corn left and I'm scared to death of that report. You can actually come in there on a very short term and buy options. Now, we don't recommend that to everybody. We're not trying to tell everybody, hey, go buy a put every week or anything like that. But there's pulls when, you know, the part about it, like we started talking earlier, is the comfortability. Like, what does risk management give you? Sometimes having that protection lets you go through the weekend or lets you provide you some comfort to realize, like, I don't care if the market crashes. I'm going to go on vacation or I'm going to do something where I don't want to pay attention to the markets and I want to have that protection.
Peace of mind to prevent any reaction that's driven by fear.
Absolutely. That, you know, fear drives the market. That's what we call volatility, right? And so when there's a lot of fear in the market, the markets move a lot. And so I think that to decrease that fear, there's things out there that you can do. Risk, you know, crop insurance is one. I mean, you know, working with your local elevator is one. Working with the commodity broker that can help you, you know, understand these tools and learn these tools is very important.
Jacob Burks joining us from agmarket.net out of Lancaster. Thanks for taking along with us on a Tuesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and we'll catch you back here same time tomorrow on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Earl Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important is it for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Farming is not an easy life, and farm women can attest to that, as you'll hear today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Farming can be a dirty job. Livestock and poultry confinement facilities are notorious for air quality. Masks or other breathing protection practices are a safety must to keep lungs free from dust, smoke, airborne chemicals, and other breathing hazards. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Sure, men who farm face their share of challenges, but don't think for one minute that farm women are just along for the ride. That's evident from a study done by Florence Beacott, Hannah Budge, and Shoshana Inwood, published in the Journal of Agromedicine. Beacott heads the Ag Safety and Health Program at Penn State University and says feedback from farm women has been laced with a lot of tension and guilt.
There is the guilt of, why am I feeling this way? You know, I shouldn't feel sorry about myself. Or the guilt of, I feel I'm not doing enough for my children. And then also the sense of isolation, where I feel alone. Like, surely it must just be me.
Beacott says feelings of isolation were also common. Her colleague, Hannah Budge, now lives in Scotland and is a rural sociologist. She says good communication can go a long way toward coping with life on the farm.
But I think something that's really important is having those kind of honest conversations in the family household, because the farm household and farm business is so intertwined and impacts so much in terms of the productivity and even the relationships within the farm household as well.
I'll have Budge and Beacott back tomorrow with more. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, who talks health and the Oscars. And mob expert Bob Dennis joins me in the studio to talk the mafia and urban legends. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshauer joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Confusion in Washington over the latest emails telling federal workers to describe a bullet point list of their job duties or risk being fired. Here's ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
Sources tell us the Office of Personnel Management has told agencies this directive is voluntary, but the president said that if you don't respond, you will be fired or semi-fired. And in the meantime, the president is announcing the far-right podcaster Dan Bongino to be second in command at the FBI, a loyal Trump supporter. He has stoked conspiracy theories about January 6th and has been deeply critical of the FBI.
The Vatican says Pope Francis has been sitting up at the hospital where he's being treated. He's also met with the Vatican Secretary of State about possible candidates for sainthood. The 88-year-old Pope is suffering from double pneumonia in Rome. In a dramatic shift, the United States has split with its European allies at the UN by refusing to blame Russia for the invasion of Ukraine and votes on three resolutions seeking an end to the three-year war. This is ABC News. The first phase of the Gaza ceasefire